Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 61. Psalm 61. I want to try to share this thought with you this morning. The Lord, our rock. The Lord, our rock. I'm not talking about a wrestler. When you hear the rock, or you usually think of a wrestler. We're not talking about a wrestler. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And how he ought to be your rock.
Amen.
And I hope that maybe we can show you this morning how that the psalmist David made the Lord his rock. And hopefully you'll be encouraged to make the Lord your rock as well. Psalm 61, verse 1 through 4. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. For the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Here David is going through a very difficult time. You and I will go through difficult times. There's no way around that. This is not my favorite verse, though I do quote it quite often. Job said in Job 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days, and full of trouble. Job should know, right? Few days, and those few days, they're full of trouble. Difficulty, despair, danger, problems, conflicts, pain. That's a part of this life, living in this world. The good news is, if you have received Christ and he's your Savior, that in heaven there are no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, none of those things of this world. But David said during a difficult time, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for your word. And Lord, we also want to thank you for the example of men and women in the Bible that knew how to trust in you. Lord, they not only spoke the words, but their life was a witness and a testimony of what it meant to have you as their rock. I pray, God, that you would help us, your children, to find you to be that rock for us this morning. Lord, not just for this day, but Lord, for the rest, the remainder of our days in this world, help us, Lord, to be trusting in you. Lord, to rely upon you, to be dependent. I pray, Father, for anyone here this morning that is without Christ and without God in this world, that you would stir their heart through the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, that they would feel compelled this morning to come and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And also pray, God, for Christians who are going through difficult days. And Lord, they're looking for some kind of strength, something to hold on to, or something that would hold them up. I pray, God, this morning they would see the answer is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just in church attendance or just reading a few scriptures here and there, but it's in the living God, the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ himself. And Lord, help them this morning to be able to leave this service at the end of it saying, the Lord is my rock. And pray, God, that you would help all of us speaks to each and every one of us. Help us to grow in faith. Lord, help us to grow in our love for you and our understanding of who you are. Please, Lord, bless this service with your own divine presence, and we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
This is not an uncommon statement that David the king would make about the Lord. In fact, I'm trying to read through my Bible again this year, and my goal is to read it through twice. And hope that you're reading through your Bible this year. We have some Bible reading programs outside, and I'd like to encourage you to get one up and start reading through it this year. But I was reading through 2 Samuel, and I noticed where in 2 Samuel that David said that the Lord was his rock, a shield, his high tower. As you go through the Psalms, especially noticing the Psalms that are written of David the king, it's interesting how often David uses this little phrase in Psalms chapter 18, for example, in verse number 46. David said this about the Lord. He said, "And the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock." David makes everything personal. It's not just your rock or their rock or a rock. Amen? He said, "My rock." And you need to get to a point in your own Christian experience that Jesus is your rock as well. "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted." He'll go on to say in Psalms 27, in verse number 5. Psalm 27, verse number 5. He says this, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." He says this also in Psalm 40 in verse number 2. "He brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." Have you ever felt that way? Everything's slippery and no footing, and you just can't get any traction whatsoever. And then all of a sudden you hit something that's solid, that's stable, that's unmovable. And David said, "I experienced that." And it wasn't just a patch of ground. It wasn't just a material rock. I found that in the Lord. When I slipped, when I could not make no progress, when I was sinking down in miry clay, the Lord set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. In Psalm 62, in verse 2, he says, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, a strong tower. I shall not be greatly moved." And then he says this in verse 6 of that same chapter, Psalm 62, "He only is my rock, my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." He said, I'll not be moved greatly. And then he said, wait a minute, I'm not going to be moved at all. And that's what having confidence in God will do for you. It will establish you and keep you grounded and unmovable in a very moving and changing world. There are also many references in the New Testament to Christ being a rock or a foundation. Remember, he is the chief cornerstone. The Apostle Peter wrote about that. The church is built and centered around Christ. Paul said that we have no other foundation other than Jesus. Amen? And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, Paul does something unusual. He reaches back into the Old Testament when the children of Israel are fleeing from Egyptian bondage and they're going to the promised land, and he reminds them of how God brought them water out of a rock. And then he says, I want you to understand something. This wasn't just a rock. It wasn't just a, you can go and see a rock that's split over there somewhere. He said, I want you to know that rock was Christ. Here he says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. This is how Paul puts it under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And did all drink that same spiritual drink. It wasn't just water that they received. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Notice, this is what Paul said. And that rock was Christ.
Amen.
You see? Water flowed from a rock. They said it wasn't just that rock that was meeting their needs. It was the rock that was meeting their needs. God was with them, and God was blessing them, and God was meeting every need they had. They were not alone. God was being their rock.
Yes. Amen.
Even Jesus will allude to this in Matthew chapter 16 when he talks about building the church. And here I submit to you, he's not talking about the Apostle Peter. Upon Peter, I'll build this church. He's not saying that. Peter's a pebble. He's just a little tiny stone. But on the Peter's profession of faith, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So even in the New Testament, this theme, this topic flows on from the Old Testament to the New Testament, so it should not be strange to us to consider Jesus being our rock this morning. First of all, I'll point out to you that a rock symbolizes strength.
Yes, amen.
What David is really saying is, the Lord is my rock, or the Lord is my strength. You might remember some old commercials. Remember the Chevy trucks? Those old Chevy commercials. Now, I don't know how honest they were. Depends on if you're a Ford man or a Chevy man or whatever you are, you know. But Chevy was known as the truck that was like a rock. Right? They're like a rock. What were they trying to imply to you about a Chevy truck? When they used that song from a songwriter, he sung a song, and they captured that phrase out of the song, and they said, the Chevy truck is like a rock. Well, they were trying to get across to you, this is a tough, endurable vehicle. I mean, you can pound it, you can beat it up, I mean, you can wear it out, and it's still going to endure because it is strong. It's strong like a rock. Well, guess who had that first thought? That was David.
Yes.
David knew something of the strength of God.
Amen.
You must learn the strength of God in your life as well. You're not here to live the Christian life yourself alone. If you're doing that, you're miserable. You're drowning. You're slipping in the miry clay. You can't get your feet underneath you. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what to do. You don't seem to be making any advancement whatsoever. Why? Because you're trying to find strength in other places that really don't offer any concrete strength. No matter how great the Chevy trucks were, they wore out. Right? And they may have been really great years gone by, but I think everything made America has kind of taken a dive downward. I hate to say that, but get about 100,000 miles, you better go buy something new again. They don't last long. The things of this world, they don't last long. God is forever. He's eternal. He will last. He is durable. Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Make God your rock.
That's right.
Your strength, like David did. You may get tired of hearing this illustration about how the Lord was strong in David's life, but it's a great example when David was at his weakest, how great and strong God was. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, the army of Israel were facing the army of the Philistines. And the Philistines had a champion warrior. In other words, he defeated everybody. There was nobody that could stand in front of Goliath. I don't know how many times, Brother Lewis, he probably made this challenge with other armies. And they sent men out to face him on the battlefield, and Goliath just destroyed them. He's going out making a challenge every day to the host of Israel. Send me out a champion, one of your best soldiers, and we'll solve this one-on-one. And everybody in Israel's army is quaking in their boots. They're all afraid to face such a giant of a man, such a skilled warrior, until a young boy named David comes on the scene. David hears the boastful shouts of this great giant of a man, and David says, "Wait a minute, what's going on?" And David is surprised that no one is willing to face this giant. He asks around, he finds out what's going to be given. So he gets 5 smooth stones and his sling, and he runs out to meet the giant. And the giant says, "You're just a little old dog. You're nothing. I mean, I send my little guys after you. I don't fight little boys like this." Listen to David's response in Psalm 17. It's important. You may have forgotten what he said, verses 45 and 46. "Then said David to the Philistine, 'Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee," and he didn't say this, but you know, this is probably what we would, "I come to you with a sling and some stones." That's not what he said, was it? He didn't say, "Look at mine. You got your tools. You got your way of winning battles. I got my way of winning battles." He didn't say that. He said, "I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts." The word host there means armies. "The God of the armies of Israel, and whom thou hast defied. This day the Lord will deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee." How did David know he was going to win this battle? He knew that he was going to win this battle because it was not his battle. It was not his strength. It was not his resources or his skill or his tools. It was the Lord that was going to win this battle. You see that? And you and I need to get back to this as believers. As children of God. As followers of Christ. That our strength is in Yahweh. That our strength comes from God. I cannot do this, but God can. And no matter what you're facing, some of you are facing some really hard things. And you're trying to get an answer. You're looking for a ray of hope. You're looking for something to happen. Can I ask you something? Where are you looking to? Or who are you looking to? A lot of times we're looking to medicine, we're looking to a psychiatrist, we're looking to a book, we're looking to a friend, we're looking to some other person or thing. And I want you to know something. Sometimes they may help, but they can only help a little. The only one that can transform you, the only one that can change you, the only one that can meet the need that you have is God.
Amen.
David learned this, and you and I would do well to learn it.
Amen.
He's my rock. What do you mean by that? He's my strength.
Yes. He is my strength.
It doesn't matter what I face, God is able.
Amen. Hallelujah.
What's the problem? No matter what the problem is, God can. And by the way, we need to get back to this as believers. Not only can God will. That's a statement of faith. Amen?
Amen.
God will help me. God will meet the need. Go back and look at verse 46 again. When David said to Goliath, this day the Lord will deliver thee into my hand, and I will. He goes on and said, I'm going to cut your head off too. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 33, David said, God is my strength and my power. God is my strength. God is my power. See, there's too many of us who know Christ. If we really are honest, we'd have to say, I am my strength and I am my power. And we're still trusting in ourselves. We're still trying to work it out ourselves. We think, well, maybe if a few more days pass, things will start getting better. No, you need to get on your knees before God and cry out to Him in prayer and say, God, help me. You're my power.
Yes.
You're my strength. Only You can help me to overcome. Psalm 27 and verse 1, the Lord, you can finish reading that verse, but he goes on to say, the Lord is the strength of my life. And then he adds this, of whom shall I be afraid? What's he saying? Remember, he didn't just go out to battle against Goliath. He fought many battles. And he knew this, I can't die until God says I'm through with you. Amen?
Amen.
It don't matter how hot the battle gets, it don't matter how great the enemy is, God has me here. He's the sovereign king over everything. I cannot lose if God is with me. It don't matter the size of the army. David knew God as his rock. Paul wrote this in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Paul wrote this, New Testament, Ephesians 6 verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That sounds something similar to what David says. Be strong in the Lord. He'll say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's evil powers that we wrestle against. There's a devil that's really good at doing his wicked job. There's enemies in high places. We are no match for these demonic powers. That being the case, don't try to face them yourself alone. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that's the message we have this morning from David. David, who says that God is our rock, God is our strength. He says this in Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Isn't that a beautiful little verse? Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly abundant above. Does that sound like you're just getting by the skin of your teeth, just barely going through? Paul said, no, the power that God has, it's available, is exceeding, and it's abundant, and it's above. Who is going to change what's going on in your life? You can't. I can't. Our strong God can. Amen?
Amen.
David also looked to the rock as his shield. His shield. David knew the rock as being a protector. Not only was he his strength, but he also protected David. There's a kind of a comical story in the Old Testament when King Saul goes after David. And remember, on one side of the mountain is King Saul's army. On the other side of the mountain is King David's army. And Saul can't get to David. Why? Because the rock is sitting right in the middle of it. You may remember when David even went into a cave, was hiding from King Saul, and Saul comes into the cave. David and his men are back in the shadows, and Saul and his men lay out in the cave. And still it was just as much as a mountain being on one side of the mountain and the other. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because God was the shield for David. He was David's protector. Too many times we look at what's going on in the world and we give the world and the devil too much credit. And we give God too little credit. How many agree with that?
Amen.
Sometimes I hope you don't mistake what I'm about to say, but I wish we would give God as much glory as we give the devil.
Ooh, me too.
You know, because he's busy. He's working overtime. Talking about the devil. Boy, he's really, he's having his way. We don't ever say anything kind like that about God, do we? God is a protector of us. He's our shield. He's our buckler. He's our high tower. David said, I can run into the high tower, and in that high tower, I'm safe from all the enemies that constantly pursue after me. You and I have some fierce foes. Fierce. The devil is an adversary. He's a great enemy. This system, this worldly system that we live in. It's hard, isn't it?
Amen.
I mean, everything in the world seems to be designed to try to force us into just working our fingers through the bone. And then the old country song said, what do you get when... But bony fingers, right? And that's the system of this world. Things are so expensive, outrageously expensive, and the wage does not go up, and you work and you work, and it's hard to make the two ends meet. That's this world system. But also we have this enemy that we live with every single day of our lives, and it is our flesh. Perhaps our greatest enemy is the one that we look at in the mirror. And some of you have felt that personally as you tried to fast this past week. You said, I'm going to stop eating at this time and won't start eating again until this time. And then that flesh just pulls and it cries and it whines and it complains and it says, you're starving me to death. And you just miss breakfast. Who can protect us from such present enemies? One and only one, our great shield, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 10, Jesus says to us, He's our great shepherd. And what was the job of the great shepherd? It was to protect the sheep. Remember David said that. When I was a boy, a bear came out and I slew the bear. Lion came out. I slew the lion. That was David's job, to make sure the enemy did not capture the sheep. Why does God say to us that He is our shepherd? Because He wants us to know that nothing can touch us that doesn't go through Him first. You know that? There's nothing that's going to touch your life that doesn't go through the hand of God first. I'm not saying it's going to be, if it touches your life, it's going to be simple and easy. I'm not saying that. I'm saying this. Nothing can touch your life that doesn't come through God's hand first.
Amen.
The shepherd is always protecting his sheep. Remember in the model prayer, the Lord taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil or the evil one. Who can lead us not into temptation? The Lord, our rock. Who can protect us from the evil or the evil one? Christ can. You can't. I can't. Jesus can. Amen? And not only can, He will. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says this, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to men. I know sometimes when you're going through something very hard, it feels like no one's ever experienced this before, Brother Tommy. I have to be the only one in the world that has ever gone through something like this. And it's impossible to describe. It hurts beyond what you can explain. But God said this, these things are common to men. All over the world, people face just what you and I are facing. That didn't help us a lot. It does help us to know that others have experienced this. The devil wants you to think that you're the only one that's ever been through anything like this. And because you're the only one that's ever been through this, God has been completely unfair to you. And God said, wait a minute, other people have gone through the same thing as well. That doesn't make it bearable or endurable. But he goes on to say this. Hear these next four words. But God is faithful.
Amen.
So there's no temptation, no trouble that can touch your life. It's not common to other men. Other men have faced the same thing. But God is faithful. As he's helped other men, he'll also help you. Isn't that what he's implying? He's met their need. Guess what? Joy. He'll meet your need as well. And say, preacher, why is he not doing that? Well, is Jesus your rock? Are you going to him for strength? Or are you going to him for protection? No, it's good to be honest with God when you pray.
Yes,
it's good. God already knows. Right? It's good to be honest. You need to say things like this from time to time. God, I don't know if I can bear this. Lord, this is hard. It's too much. Lord, help me. Be honest with God. Lord, I'm hurting. This is hard. I need some help. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that you're able to bear? But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear. I got some good news for you.
Hallelujah.
Really good news. There's a way out.
Amen.
By the way, it's not the world's way. That's not really a way out. The world's way, suicide, that's not a way out. Right? There is God's way, and God's way is a real way out. You can bear it. I'll make a way out of it for you. Have you gone to that shield and said, Lord, show me the way out? You made a way. You're faithful. You promised not to put on me more than I could bear. I think this is almost beyond what I could. How many of you have been there before? You thought, God, you said it. You said you'd not put on me more than I could bear. But Lord, this seems like it's a little bit too much.
Amen.
I've not gone through some of the things that you've gone through. But when I was it 27 or 26? 27 years old. I don't know. Night, I was working at 9:30 at night. Finished my last job. I was going back to the shop. And I usually work by myself. At that time, I was working by myself. I had a guy working with me. His name was Tommy as well. So two Tommies in the truck. And I had looked over to Tommy and I said something to him. And I saw his eyes get as large as a saucer's. And I saw a little bit of light out of my peripheral vision when I had some. I could still see on the side. And all of a sudden, sound of a crash. I felt glass cutting my face. And the next thing I know, I was laying on the side of the road.
Oh my Lord.
And I woke up and people were just screaming. I thought, oh no. And my leg was just hurting like I was trying to hold up 100 or 400 pounds and couldn't let it down. Just straining, muscle straining. And had people already gathered around me that said, don't move, don't. I said, somebody's got to move. You gotta help these people that are hurting. Y'all got to check on them. They're fine. Don't move. They called in life flight. They flew me to the Shands Hospital. It used to be called University Hospital. I was in intensive care for I don't know how long. Found out that I broke my back, L3, 4, and 5. L4 was a burst fracture, which meant it's not there anymore. I'd go in there and take all L4 out. Fractured my leg. That's why it was all twisted up. That's why that muscle was straining so much on the side of the road. Didn't know if I would walk again. I went from being, not trying to be proud, but at 27, I could pretty much lift anything I wanted to lift, and I was athletic. I could do pretty much anything I wanted to do. To not even able to lift my leg off the bed, not even drag it up the bed. I didn't know what I was going to face in life. Now, I'll tell you something to you. The Lord is my strength. He is my rock, and He is my shield.
Amen.
You know what kept me sound in faith and not blaming God or accusing God falsely is because I knew that God is God regardless.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
God is God in good times. And God is God in bad times. God is God when everything's going great, and God is God when everything is going awful. Doesn't change the fact He's still God. Amen? And even you say, well, He wasn't much of a shield. He was a great shield.
Amen.
All right, there was a lot put on me, and a lot put on my wife, and a lot put on my children. And it got sometimes almost like it was unbearable. But He made a way out.
Amen.
Amen.
And that same God wants to be your rock as well.
Yes, amen. I see that.
He can keep you from all the devil's trying to do. He can protect you as a great tender shepherd would. He promises that He'll not suffer you to be tempted more than you're able to bear. He also, with that promise, offers this. There is a way out. And can I say to you this morning, it might help you. That way for you is Jesus.
Amen. Absolutely.
And preacher, how can I ever overcome this?
Give it to God.
Get a hold of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Get along with Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Get help from Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And if you'll do that, you'll find that God is able to meet your need. The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians, and everything give thanks. This is a hard verse. It's easy to quote verses sometimes. Very easy to quote them, but sometimes it's very hard to live them. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's easy to say if you win the lottery. I like that verse. But what if you go bankrupt? That verse is still true. Amen?
That's right.
What is that verse saying? Simply saying this. It says this. God is in charge, and
that's
you can
right.
trust Him. You can trust Him. I hope you come back this evening. I hadn't talked to Brother Brian about this yet. He may preach. I may preach this evening. But I know this. God wants to help you. He wants to show Himself strong to you. And He wants to make a difference in your life. David, he knew God as the rock. He knew God as his strength. He knew God as his shelter. He knew God as his shield. Amen?
Amen.
He knew how to go to God and trust God. And that's what you and I need to do this morning. I don't know exactly what the need is in your life, but I do know this. You need to bring that need to God and trust God to help you. Would you do that? And I promise if you'll do that, God will meet that need. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. Guess what? The only one who can save you is the Lord.
Amen.
The only way you're ever going to be saved is if Jesus saves you. Amen?
Right.
You say, well, how is He going to save me, preacher? Come and ask Him to.
That's right.
And He will. Amen?
Amen.
Preacher, how am I going to get my needs met? Come and ask Jesus to meet those needs.
Yes.
and he will.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Come to the rock. You may need to do exactly what David did. Lord, this is a weary time. It's hard. Lord, I don't know what to do. Take my hand and lead me to the rock. It's higher than I am. Let me get some help. And I promise you, God will help you. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for Jesus especially. What a wonderful Savior. What a dear friend. A friend that sticks closer to us than a brother. No one ever has loved us as much as Jesus loves us. Lord, I'm so glad that the Bible says that when we are weak and when we are hurting, that you're touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You don't ever look down upon us, Lord, with glee because our hearts are broken. You always look down with sympathy and care, compassion. Lord, you're looking down with every one of us that way right now. Lord, give folks in this service faith to come and say, Lord, help me get to you. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Lord, be my strength. I don't have no strength. Or be my shield and protector. God, shelter me. Shelter me in your arms. Protect me. Lord, help me through these days that I might be what you'd have me to be. Or if there's those here in the service that are lost, would you please speak to them with a clear, calm, still voice and call them to the altar to repent and receive Christ as their Savior. God, those you know that are hurting, would you also reach out to them this morning in love and stir their heart to come, kneel before you, and ask you to be their rock. Meet their needs today, Father, please. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to page 505. 505, and you need to come for prayer. Would you please come?